Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for
Vikings Report with Drew and Ted and Chris. Hey everybody, welcome back to Vikings Report with Drew and Ted and Chris. As you can see, plainly, Chris is still not here. He has a job, and I have to pay bills so I don't become homeless.
But for the time being, I guess the network enforcers are opting for my approach until Joe Consumer tells them he'd rather get his 2 cents from commentators who don't make babies cry.
But he tells us, allegedly, he will be back next week. So, we will take him at his word, I guess. Drew?
He'll be back next week. Right. My Uncle Paulie already spoke to him. He will be back.
Oh, okay. You know what we could have done?
What's that?
You know, first of all, I want to give props to Ruby. Folks, welcome to Vikings Report, Drew and Ted. We're doing another quick turbo episode. We want to wait to get the band back together and do a full-up show. But Chris will be back next week. But first, we want to give a little bit of props to our producer and superstar that really makes the show happen, Ruby Toons is the Talking Cat. We got a comment last week, says this is the best edited podcast they had ever seen. And I was thinking about A, how true that is, and B, how are you doing, Ruby? And C, with Chris gone the next time, Ruby, could we just do some like AI deep fakes and just throw Chris up on the screen?
I'm doing good, and yes, I can do it, and it'll be fantastic.
You know those old animatronic, like, the Hall of Presidents from, like, Disney World? Do you ever see stuff like that?
Yeah.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
Walt Disney.
Yeah.
He made us in the image like we have a board up our keister.
And then we'll just do the Dusty Rhodes voice. That's not hard times, Daddy. That's not hard times.
He does a great job with that, doesn't he?
He does. So, Ruby, how you doing tonight? Doing well?
I'm doing good.
Well, thanks for being the best editor in this business, and thanks for putting up with our shenanigans, and we will see Chris next week. Folks, like we said, we got a turbo show. Before we get to it, go ahead and go over to Purple Pain Forums, sign up for an account over there, purplepainforums.com, our online internet home, if you will. Great community of folks that talk really intelligent Viking stuff. Dan Chat, he was on our preview with the Falcons last year, has his own draft simulator, which is really cool, ad-free, all that kind of stuff. Go check that out, purplepainforums.com.
You've been in the flight simulators, right, being a helicopter pilot?
Yeah, I have.
Did you ever mess around in the simulator and, like, go between buildings and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like in flight school, we got to fly into like what was the Cobra simulator, but before it was like an actual, everything's computerized now. Back then they had like this humongous terrain board. It was like the size of almost like a gym floor. They had redone, I think it was at the time, West Germany, like with a fold the gap, you know, Cold War type stuff. And you could fly around it. And like over the years, students had put stuff on that board, like, okay, go to the fly with the pin in it. Yeah, just like stuff like that. Because it had like a real tiny camera and it flew around the board as you were flying the controls of the helicopter. Anyways, but yeah.
That's kind of cool, dude. That's kind of cool.
All right. So with that, real quick before tonight, we are continuing our positional analysis. We are going to talk defensive end slash edge slash outside linebacker, the way the Brian Flores defense is. We really don't have traditional defensive ends. So we're going to talk about the guys on the roster. We're going to talk about a couple free agent signings. And then we got the Drew Bunning big board. But before that, we have to say hello, puppet, to some more Vikings players that signed with the Vikings this past week.
Hello!
Now, while we were recording last week, and last week we were doing defensive tackles,
right,
Drew said, hey, the Vikings need to sign some more dudes. And while that show was being recorded, they signed defensive tackle Jonah Williams. So they listened to you. They also signed center guard Dan Feeney, who is probably going to be like a primary interior O-line backup. Cornerback Shaq Griffin, also of the Houston Texans. So I believe the Minnesota Vikings with that transaction have now completely swapped defenses with the Houston Texans from last year. Linebacker Camus Grugier-Hill has signed. And then the greatest name in the NFL right now, he was listed in edge, but the Vikings have him listed as linebacker. But Islamic Jihad, holy war, that's right.
Because I'll put a jihad on you, too.
Vikes have him listed as linebacker. Everywhere else had him listed as an edge. So I think we're just going to go ahead and talk about him tonight.
Explosive player, Ted. You know, the new defensive line coach for the Vikings, he worked with Jonah Williams back in L.A. when he was on the defensive line staff for McVay back in 2021. The Vikings actually signed him in 2021. Then he failed a physical.
Really?
Then he went back to the Rams the year they won the Super Bowl against the Bengals. So he got a Super Bowl ring. I think he's going to be a 3-4 defensive end. I think that's okay. Where they're going to put him. 28 years old, did the Mormon mission thing in Sao Paulo. What's it called? Sao Paulo?
Brazil? Okay.
Not a bad gig getting sent there to do any kind of work. La cucaracha, you know what I mean?
He was doing Mormon missionary work. Stop it.
Ted, you never.
Stop it.
You never, never, ever know.
Hi, sisters.
We're actually elders in the Mormon church.
Hello. What's happening, guy? You shouldn't be doing that.
I'm actually wondering if you are interested in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Not now.
Why would you do this to your mortal body? This is permanent. You know that, right?
I can do whatever I want to my mortal body.
You need to be wise, don't you? You're filthy.
Yeah, drinking coffee in the Christian Science Reading Room. Wait, he can't even drink coffee. He's Mormon, so he's drinking tepid tap water at the Christian Science Reading Room. That's what he was doing inside.
No, you can't drink coffee. You can't drink soda. None of that.
Yeah, I know.
It's called the Word of Wisdom, Ted. I know all about it. 6'5", 275. He's got pretty good size. I like the signing. And like I said, the Vikings' new defensive line coach has worked with him, so there's something he's passed on that he sees.
Okay.
He sees in the guy. And then, you know, we all know Shaq Griffin, third-round pick. Number 90 overall that Seattle took. He played for UCF. Very, very good player. 4 years in Seattle, 2 at Jacksonville. Last year with the Texans and Panthers. 39 total tackles, 5 pass defense. He's played in 89 NFL games. 79 he has started. Made the Pro Bowl in 2019. You can never have enough corner help. I am happy we picked him up. Keep bringing in the corners, man.
Yeah.
Until we figure out the chemistry and who works best with who. But Shaq Griffin, very smart football player.
People were kind of irritated about the signing. They're like, dude, right now it's depth, and it's solid depth. And that's something that we have talked about, I think, almost since we started doing this show at the end of the 2020 season, whatever it was, we started doing this show,
right.
2021, whatever, that the Vikings just had no depth on their roster after like the 2017-2018 season. So I like it. I think these have been good signings so far.
They're not going to worry about depth this year, Ted. They're not going to get caught with their pants around their ankles this year. At least I don't think they will. But one more thing on Jonah Williams. Last season was his most productive season of all. 16 starts, 49 tackles, 20 solo tackles, and 4 tackles for loss. So we're bringing him in at the right time. And I think he makes the team, and I think he might be a surprise that nobody knows about at this point.
Okay.
I'm happy with all the signings, Ted. Feeney, the mustache and the mullet.
Oh, the mullet. I love the mullet.
I look back, I had him at number 3 in my interior offensive lineman from Indiana when he got drafted. Very impressive college player, Ted. Big 10. You're not going to slouch around in the Big 10 unless you're Pat Elfline.
Oh, boy.
I think, does that mean Reisner's out with the signing of Dan Feeney?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'd still like to see Reisner back. Feeney's has position flexibility. He's played center and guard.
When he played center the 1 year for the Chargers, he gave up like 4 sacks in his first 5 games at center. I think that's why they switched him back to guard. Dude, Feeney played a couple tight end snaps for the Chargers way back when.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's weird. I think 2021 or something. But Feeney's a natural left guard, and so is Reisner. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm happy with all the new signs. We got a lot of new guys coming in, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people talk about running it back. I think with the roster turnover, I think the Vikings have pretty much flipped the entire roster now, with the exception of maybe Harrison Smith, probably one or two other guys. But I'd have to actually go down the roster and look to see who was on when O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah got hired. But they're not running it back anymore. They may have in 2022 when they still had a fair amount of talent on the roster, and the owners thought it was just coaching that was the problem. But they are reshaping this roster and the image that they want, the types of players they want. They're well on their way of getting what they want. So that's right. It's good to see. All right, so positional analysis, defensive end / edge this week. Yeah, what?
Ted?
Yeah?
I'm cooler than you are. So why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. I kind of screwed that up. Yeah, he's right. Light that candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
Yes. Perfect. Now we're off and running. All right.
Hey everyone, it's Ted's grandson Grayson, and now it's time for the Vikings Report off-season positional analysis segment. Hit it, Papa.
We got a good positional thing because we lost both of our defensive ends, didn't we?
Wanham's gone. I was kind of hoping he'd come back. I didn't really think Daniil Hunter would come back just based on the contract acrimony he'd had the last few years, you know, even before the current regime got here. It just felt like he was not going to come back, and he didn't. But the guys currently on the roster, I think, are pretty good players. Jonathan Grenard, Pat Jones II. He's the only remaining third-round pick from that infamous 2021 class of Rick Spielman's that all those four third-round picks, and
wow,
none of them lasted more than a year except Jones. Newcomer Andrew Van Ginkel.
Yes.
Andre Carter. And then the aforementioned Jihad Ward. So what do you like about these guys currently on the roster that's different from the roster we'd seen in the past? Daniil Hunter's gone, very productive player, arguably the best defensive end the Vikings have had since Dolman, maybe? I don't know, man. I mean, he was really good.
Really, really good. With all these signings, it's less painful to lose Hunter, but I understand why it happened. And the thing I'm most excited about, I think, to make it a general for everybody out there and make it easy for me to explain, is at least we have somebody after Hunter.
Yes.
I mean, it was Hunter and Wanham. They got hurt. You had really nothing. I like Greenard and Van Ginkel, and you got all these guys that can help chip in. They got good experience. They're all players that don't take any time off. But the fact that we have all these guys make me less worried about missing Hunter.
You know, DJ Wanham got hurt towards the end of last season. He tore his pectoral muscle, I believe it was, went on IR with about a month to go in the season. And I think it was those last three or four games that he was out. I read on Twitter, and I have to go back and confirm this, but Daniil Hunter didn't record a sack while DJ Wanham was out. And I think this goes back to the depth you're talking about. And Patrick Jones II is a guy that I've kind of expected to sort of step up every year now. And I think now with the rotation that the Vikings will almost have to do without Hunter and Wanham there, this will give an opportunity for a guy like Pat Jones II to get more playing time and maybe make more of an impact than he has in the past. Although when he did play at times, it seemed like he played well in a couple games.
Patrick Jones II is kind of like the defensive side what KJ Osborne was on the offense.
Okay.
You keep seeing flashes from him where you're going, all right, this is it. This is it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good comp in terms of, oh, okay, here we are. And then, yeah, he just doesn't take that next step. No, I get it. Yeah, I get
it. He's had some great games, though. He's made some big plays for the Vikings.
We talked about Grenard and we talked about Van Ginkel in one of our live episodes not too long after they signed. What do you think Jihad Ward brings to the table, the most recently signed free agent from the New York Giants?
He is a solid, solid tackler. This is the type of guy, he's good out in coverage, but he's good, like we talked about Chris Jenkins diagnosing a play.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at that.
Okay.
And guys like that are always around the ball, but I like his tackling ability. And I still see a lot of missed tackles with the Vikings. And you could tell guys who want to tackle. Antoine Winfield wanted to tackle.
Yeah.
I like his experience. I like the fact that he's another, like Ginkel, a solid football player. And Cashman, solid football players. They may not be splashy and big names, but I'll take guys like that on my team any day of the week.
Okay.
I think he's going to fill out a good role for the Vikings, and I think he's going to help us get back into the playoffs when we win the NFC North.
Ooh, bold prediction already. So we talked about in free agency, they signed Grenard, they signed Van Ginkel, Jihad Ward. I was looking at the free agency list, and I think they might be done. There's still a couple big names out there. Unique Ngakoue, you probably had the greatest joke about Unique Ngakoue in this show's history early on.
He had his way with us, and then he went out and got iced out of the machine and never came back.
After signing these three guys, I'm not saying the Vikings are done in free agency, but it kind of feels like they're done in free agency with this position, barring kind of a turn of events. How do you feel about this?
You want to see my free agent list?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you don't have anybody either.
I don't have anybody. I don't know if you have anybody. Can we do this every week? We throw free agents out there and kind of bounce them off each other. I don't have any. I think they're going to draft two guys. I think they're going to draft two defensive ends in this draft. I think they're done with free agency in terms of this position, just like you said.
I think so, too. But again, you know, Ngakoue's still out there and Jadeveon Clowney, the two biggest names that are out there. I don't think the Vikings are in on them. I haven't seen anything about them being interested in those guys. So we'll see. But anyways, so with that then, Drew, since you said you think the Vikings are going to look at edge guys, defensive end type guys in the draft, let's pull up the Drew Bunting 2024 defensive end slash edge big board.
Yeah, look at that thing.
Are you sure this is the right one you sent me? Because I don't see a Michigan player in your top two or three here.
You know, my Michigan players finished 18th and 21st, and I didn't want to sneak them in because I'm a fair guy, Ted.
Okay.
I do everything in a fair way. I've been fair. I'm a man of my word.
But you do have two Alabama dudes. Dallas Turner you got in the first round, and then Chris Braswell.
I have this guy who's probably going to be drafted fifth round or so, Justin Igbogbe.
Okay.
And he's from Alabama. I didn't want to throw three Alabama guys on there, but he is a very good run defender and a 3-4 defensive end. But he didn't make my list, but I have a sheet on him because I think he's going to be a really, really good player. If I put three Alabama guys on there, my Michigan people would kill me. But I will say this, Alabama knows how to churn out defensive linemen, man.
Well, they did under Nick Saban. We'll see how it goes now. So the Vikings currently sit with pick 11 and pick 23 in the first round. Everybody assumes that they are going to package those two picks, move up into the top five, and draft a quarterback. That's assuming they have a trade partner they can do that with to get said quarterback. If that can't happen, I think it will, but I'm just being hypothetical here. At pick 11, edge slash defensive end becomes a very realistic choice for the Minnesota Vikings if they cannot get a quarterback. So let's say that is the scenario. The Vikings are sitting at 11. They couldn't make a trade. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy are all off the board, and May. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, May are all off the board, and the Vikings are now sitting at 11. You've got Dallas Turner. If he's on the board, he's the number one guy you think the Vikings should go get. Why?
If the Vikings were set at quarterback, if Cousins would have stayed, this is the guy they would have took at 11 because he's the best fill-in spot for Hunter that I saw in this draft.
Okay.
The guy's a freak, Ted. I think he's a perfect replacement for Hunter. He needs to mass up a little bit. 247, pretty light out there, but he's such an athlete. I know Flores would love to work with him. He had 11 sacks last year, 14 and a half tackles for loss. He was one of my only edge guys that got an A in their pass rush grade from me. He got a C-plus in his run defense. I think he needs to pick up on the run defense. Not crappy at it, but he could improve in that area. Super athletic. 4.46. Are you kidding me, Ted?
For like a defensive end? That's just ridiculous.
4.46, elite athlete, very explosive. One of the things I like about him, he has a good knack of navigating through blockers. He doesn't get caught up in that mush we talk about. Can't get their hands on him. He has good movement with his hands, and he can navigate around the blockers really well. Besides improving in the run game, this guy's going to be a fantastic stand-up outside edge guy. And I think he would be a perfect selection for us if we weren't looking for a quarterback.
Your next two guys, you got Jared Verse and Le'Atu Latu of UCLA.
Right.
What do you like about those guys?
Latu would probably end up being first, maybe right up there with Dallas Turner as being the first overall. But he had that neck problem in 2020 and 2021 when he played for Washington and the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
He had that really bad neck injury, and they actually said, we're not going to okay you to ever play football here. We think you shouldn't play anymore.
Okay.
So his career was pretty much at a standstill. He has gone to UCLA. That guy is an incredible pass rush specialist. There hasn't been any signs of the neck injury, but reading about it, I had to drop him down to at least three, but you can't drop him much further than that. He might be the first guy taken.
Okay.
Because he does some things that Turner doesn't, but Turner does some things he doesn't also. Listen to his production, Ted. 13 sacks, 49 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions. He has studied the art of rushing the passer. I'm telling you, the guy has like 30 moves when most people have like 8.
Okay.
He has refined his pass rushing skills, and he is amazing to watch rush the quarterback. The neck injury thing was serious, but I don't think it's going to be anything to slow him down.
I see almost every single mock I see, Turner gone almost exclusively. But there's a lot of back and forth on whether Verse or Latu would be there at 11. I think one of those two guys goes before 11, but I think one of those two guys are definitely sitting there at 11 for the Vikings.
When you watch Verse play, he's also a guy you get excited about, Ted. Reminds me of Will Anderson a little bit.
Really?
His build and everything and the way he moves, he kind of reminds me of him. But I also gave him an A-plus pass rating, a C run rating. He had 9 sacks and 41 tackles, which is pretty good on the outside. He might be more of a 4-3 defensive end than a stand-up dude because he's not that athletic out in coverage or anything. Your outside linebacker, edge guy in a 3-4, you have to be a great player almost to succeed in today's NFL. If you don't rush the quarterback in this league, Ted, you won't win. So you got to have these exceptional athletes. I think Turner, Verse, and Latu are all from that. Verse had the best bull rush out of any of these guys,
okay,
including the top guy. So I like the big bull rushers, Ted. Doesn't get stuck on blocks. You know, I like the guys that can get out in space. Great run support. I think he's a better run supporter than Turner or Latu. That's why I put him at number 2, because run defense matters. You know what struck me, Ted, when I was going through all these defensive ends, whether they're 4-3 or 3-4 or outside linebacker? A bunch of these guys are pass rush specialists that aren't really good against the run. I think in the last few years, guys have been more 50-50 on their run and pass development. These guys are all pass rushers. Take Chop Robinson, for instance.
I want to spend a little bit of time on him because that is a name that if the Vikings don't go quarterback, they can't make the trade. That is a name that a lot of people have mocked to the Vikings. And I don't watch much college football outside of Big Ten and Ohio State. I'm no draft expert. I'm not a college film watcher guy. I don't want to be insulting to the guy, but it just seems like he is not as consistently good as, like, say, remember how consistently good Chase Young was when he came out. Hasn't really panned out as a pro, but he was very highly regarded. Chop Robinson just is not, like, he just kind of just sort of disappears for chunks of games to me. Maybe I'm looking at him completely wrong, though.
Here's the deal with Chop Robinson. I started watching the tape on the guy. I haven't seen speed off the edge around the tackle shoulder in years like this guy has. He reminds me of Bruce Irvin when Bruce Irvin was went to Seattle in that first round. I don't know if you remember that defensive end.
I do, yeah.
He's the biggest hit or miss guy on this list. There's no middle ground for Chop Robinson, I don't think. I don't want to say his run defense is abysmal. That's kind of a bad word to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say, instead of abysmal, I'll say freaking horrible. He's going to pigeonhole himself unless he gets better at the run. And okay. I'm not just saying he gets, you know, washed out by blockers. He looks like he doesn't want to be out there during run plays.
Yeah, if he's not rushing the passer, which seems to be like what he really loves to do, then he doesn't want to do it. Is that accurate?
I think that is accurate. This is what he's going to base his whole NFL career on. He's got such a quick move to the outside. Once he hits you with about 5 of those, the tackle is leaning out and lunging out and moving his feet out to try to compensate that. And then he hits you with the spin move inside and he kills your quarterback. But let me tell you something right now. If he doesn't get better against the run, his only job is going to be a third down pass specialist. It's not going to be first or second down, which is fine for some teams, Ted. Some teams just want a guy to rush the passer, like Greg Lloyd. Greg Lloyd with the Steelers. Cowher wanted him to rush the passer.
But Greg Lloyd established himself as a very good football player for several years before he kind of became that specialized, like Lance Johnstone was with the Vikings in the early 2000s. Greg Lloyd was a good football player and kind of earned his specialist role, if that's a way to put it. I mean, if he's just a pass rush specialist guy, period, I would not want to draft him in the first round.
But you're also drafting him to hope he turns into a good run defender, then he's the best guy in this whole draft.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of guys on this list that are pass rush specialists. Chop Robinson, Jonah Ellis, whose dad played for the Lions for 10 years. He is his pass rush specialist. He can't do anything against the run. Trice for Washington.
Braylon Trice, okay.
That guy led the nation in pressures. He had 70 pressures at Washington. 70 pressures at Washington.
That's a lot, man.
In 2022, he had the second highest missed tackle rate at 32%. Last year, he was number 4 on missed tackles in college football.
Jeez.
So that's 2 years in a row that Braylon Trice has not been able to tackle anybody. But you take that away, that guy is always in the backfield.
I would think that would be something the Vikings, I don't want to say would take him off their board, but one thing I've noticed between the last year of Mike Zimmer and the first year of the Brian Flores defense is how much better overall the Vikings were at tackling. They were a much more fundamentally sound team, at least tackling and minimizing, you know, yards after catch or, you know, a 5-yard run becoming a 15 or 20 yard run, et cetera, whatever the case may be. I want to pull this scenario down. So 11-23, one of the things the Vikings or Vikings fans would hope if they can't trade up and get a quarterback is that Kwesi would kind of wheel and deal and maybe do some trading down with these first round picks, if that's possible, and kind of recoup those second and third round picks that the Vikings currently do not have because of trades made this year and last year and previous years or whatever. So let's say that happens. We get to the second, third round, and now we find that the Vikings have some picks. Or even in the fourth and fifth round, who you got for Vikings watch for some of these guys?
The first guy I have, and I have him as a late second rounder, and I hope he falls a little bit, Darius Robinson from Missouri. He reminded me of Leonard Williams when I watched him play.
He's a good player. Had a good game against Ohio State.
The thing I liked about him, his first 3 years at Missouri, he played on the inside. The last year, they moved him out to the outside. He's your ideal 3-4 defensive end for the Vikings. Position versatility, Ted. You could play him all over the place, but if you send him at end, he's going to be great. The first season he played outside for Missouri was last season. He had 43 tackles, 8.5 sacks. I got him at a B-plus pass rating, and I got him at an A-minus run stopper, which is the best run stopper that we've had so far, probably on this list so far. Another great bull rush, has the full assortment of moves. I think he's a diamond in the rough, but I also think there's a lot of GMs that know that. I think my second round is going to be fair to him.
Okay.
At the fair spot. Somebody's going to see what he's worth. He is a beastly guy, but I had to put him on Viking watch because I love his game.
All right. Who else you got on Viking watch?
I got Booker. I got Ellis, and I got Darius Robinson.
Okay. Austin Booker?
Austin Cooker for Kansas. 6'4". 240, Ted. B-plus, both grade pass and run defense. If you can invest the developmental time in this guy, he's not going to start week one. He's very raw. He's a player you can mold, Ted. He's a BOC player, Ted. BOC player, ball of clay. Right now, he's a pass rush specialist, but if this guy gets coached up well, Austin Booker's going to be a stud player in this league because he's got so much potential. I had to put him on Viking watch. I have him going to the third round. Maybe he'll drop to the fourth, but really like him. And like I said, I like Jonah Ellis.
Jonah Ellis.
Dad played for the Lions, like I said. You know, I like those players your dad's played previous NFL football. Yep. Very, very dangerous pass rush specialist, Ted, for Utah. He's like a poor man's TJ Watt. That's what I see in this guy.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Wow,
yes.
Okay.
I don't want to say high motor, so I'm going to say big energy.
Yeah, big energy.
I have him as an A pass rush guy and a C run stopper. Needs to get a little bit better at that. But you got to love the energy of this guy. Makes everybody else around him fired up. Last year, he had 41 total pressures and 13 sacks in 2023. Now, your size kind of scares you. 6'2", 248. That's why people say he'll never be a three-down guy. He needs help against the run, but he's explosive at the line of scrimmage, and he can play in the run game.
That frame seems ideal, though, for an outside linebacker slash edge rusher in a Flores defense, though.
You're exactly right. The outside guy setting the edge for the defense, setting the perimeter, he's exceptional at that. And I think Jonah Ellis has a lot of upside to go on in this league.
All right. You got anybody else on Vikings watch, or are we good?
I think we're good. Darius Robinson, Ellis, and Booker. Those are my three guys on Viking watch. The rest of these guys are all developmental guys. That's it, though, Ted. Do you have any questions about any of these guys?
I do not. So that does it for defensive edge slash edge guys. Next week, who we got?
Linebackers.
Linebackers.
We kind of formulated this thing to put the outside linebackers, edge guys, with Flores' defense, what the Vikings do.
We should probably lead with that, but yeah, that's what we did. Because outside linebackers slash edge, I mean, because Danielle Hunter, traditional defensive end, but was listed as an outside linebacker. Jonathan Grenard, defensive end slash listed as outside linebacker.
Next week will be mainly the inside linebackers.
Okay.
Eichenberg, all those guys.
Again, great breakdown. I love the Chop Robinson discussion. For whatever reason, whenever I watch stuff about him, I'm like, look, he can rush the passer, but like he just disappears for big chunks of games. I don't know, whatever. All right, so that's it for the edge guys, defensive ends. Again, kind of an abbreviated show. Chris will be back next week. The next time he takes off for a month at a time, we're just going to do AI stuff Well, he's gone, so he just can't leave anymore. Anyways, so no trivia this week. I think we'll have trivia back next week when Chris returns. But if you would, folks, thanks for watching. Please like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all that stuff you got to do. Really appreciate your support, especially in the off season. Head on over to Purple Pain Forum, sign up for an account, and join up over there. It sure beats Twitter and some of these Facebook fan groups with all the stupidity you see. So with that, buddy, I'll try to do better the next time. Why don't you take us home?
Ted, he's a BOC player. Ball of clay, you can mold him. Or he's a Blue Oyster Cult player. You know okay. What that means.
Don't fear the Reaper, baby.
He's not afraid of anything, even the Reaper. Had a lot of fun doing the defensive ends tonight. We are shooting through these positions, Ted Glover.
We are.
And we are getting close. We got linebackers, and I think we got corners and safeties. And then we got the draft night. We will be live.
Yes.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be a riot. Everybody show up.
We may not give you any quality information, but by God, we have a good time. And Chris has joined us for every live draft show. It's
yes.
been a blast.
Ever since our first one was in 2021, when we had the John Matuszek story. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I always look forward to doing that. But we're getting through these positions. The Vikings are making a hell of a lot of noise in the offseason. They're getting their depth. They're getting their players. I like the attitude of players they're getting.
I do too.
And I love people tuning in and watching this show. So if you want to see a movie, we're going back to our movies next week when Chris comes back. Put something in the comments if you want to see a movie. We'll see you next week, Chris Gates. Say goodnight, Ted.
Good night, Ted. Jihad!